Amen. If you have your Bibles, the book of Matthew chapter 19, the book of Matthew chapter 19. I really, on my way to church, I had in mind what God wanted for the service tonight, and I really was kind of struggling, and I really feel that I got the mind of God that this is exactly what He wants. He changed it on me, and so I'm just going to be faithful and believe that this is what God wants. Amen. And I'm believing that God is going to help us tonight. Amen. One of the things that I've heard my cousin has told me that really changed the way I serve God is he always says, stop trying, but instead train to be better. Amen. There's a lot of people who get stuck on trying. Oh, I'm trying my hardest. Well, listen, stop trying and start training to be better. Amen. Because that is something that will change your life. There are athletes, amen, that they don't try harder. They simply train better. And in God's kingdom, listen, you can experience breakthrough on a whole nother level if you simply train better instead of falling back to trying. Tonight, listen, I want to preach a sermon entitled, What Must I Do? How many have ever came to church and or you've been in your house or there's a situation that has gone on in your life and you ask God, God, what do I got to do? Lord, what do I got to do to get your attention? What is it that I have to do in my life? I'll give you anything. You just tell me, what do I got to do, Lord, to get your attention? Has anyone ever prayed that? Amen. Listen, I remember there was a time I was a little party animal. Amen. And I got pulled over for drinking and driving. And I was there and I said, oh, Lord. First thing I came out of my mouth, oh, Lord. I was about to go downtown Albuquerque. If you know Albuquerque, listen, I look white. But that my people are there, and I'm the wrong color to go to jail in Albuquerque, but I was ready. I was like, let's do this. But I remember crying out. I said, God, I can't do this. And God took me out of it. I'm like, man, and then what did I do? Oh, I didn't get a ticket. I didn't get taken to jail, so I went back and started drinking again. Amen. And it's interesting the way we think. It's very interesting. As soon as we dodge a bullet, we immediately revert back to the way things are. But tonight, listen, I want to really dive in deep into our lives tonight because I believe that each and every one of us here has come to a point, or perhaps you're at that point tonight and you ask God, what do I got to do? Lord, what do I got to do to get closer to you? What do I got to do to hear your voice? What do I got to do to get an answer from you? Lord, what do I got to do to get out of debt? What do I got to do to have something healed, a relationship? God, what do I got to do to get rid of depression? God, what do I got to do to break free? God, I'm tired. Each and every one of us have a place in our life that we are asking God, God, what do I got to do? I would tell you this. I have prayed thousands of hours, y'all, asking God, God, what do I got to do to get your attention? Listen, this isn't something that is specific to you, but listen, every person that comes in contact with salvation or no contact at all has prayed this prayer, what do I got to do? I wonder, does anyone in this place like losing? Anyone at all? Do we got any people that enjoy losing? No one? All right, that means there's no Cowboys fans here, because if you're a Cowboys fan, you enjoy losing. Amen. Shots fired. God bless you, brother. Have a good night. Amen. But listen, the reality is we don't like to lose, right? Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't root for the Chicago Bears because I enjoy losing, seeing them lose. I want to see them win. We all like to win. Growing up, I'm the baby of my family, and I got punked my whole life from my brothers. And now that I'm the biggest out of all of them and I can whoop them all, they don't mess with me. So I can't prove my case. So it's a lose-lose for me. I don't like to lose, y'all. I don't care who it is. You could ask pastor. They're like, hey, let's play some board games. Everyone, I said, listen, I don't play board games because I don't want to lose. I only play things that I win. So if you want to play something with me, all right, let's go outside and wrestle. I'm pretty confident in my abilities. But we don't like to lose. Amen. That's just reality. I just want to be on your level tonight because, listen, I'm not above you here. Just because I'm preaching behind this pulpit, listen, I am in the same spot you are where I've come before God and I've said, God, what do I got to do to get your attention? Amen. Tonight, I want to preach on this tonight. out of the book of Matthew chapter 19. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay. Amen. I'm going to read it for us together. Amen. But we're going to start in verse 16. What is happening before I read, there is a rich young ruler. This young man is wealthy and he's talking to Jesus. And we're going to read the conversation he has. It says, now behold, one came to him saying, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? There's our question. What good thing shall I do? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into eternal life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, I've kept all these from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have. Give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. But when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowfully, for he had great possessions. This whole story here is very interesting because it reminds me of how we approach God sometimes. I have a saying, I shared it with the church. For those who weren't here, I'll share it with you. In the presence of Jesus, victory is guaranteed. If you read the Word of God, anytime someone came in contact with Jesus, they received victory, except for this man here. And there's one other one in the Bible that I could find. But what I'm talking about is an encounter with God. This is an encounter with God. And he's talking with him, and he's saying, Lord, what do I got to do? I'm asking, I'm seeking you, God. I need something. And he says, Lord, what do I got to do? Because I want eternal life. Jesus simply tells him, hey, keep the commandments. This is where it's like us. Oh, I've kept all the commandments for our youth. Lord, listen, I go to church. I pray when I can. I do the best that I can when I am. And listen, I'm just trying my hardest. I'm just trying the best that I can. And listen, I've kept all these. And it's like when you tell your kids, amen, I got three little girls, and these little crumb snatchers, let me tell you, they know everything. I tell them, baby, listen, you got to go clean your room. Dad, I cleaned it. I said, did you? Yep, I sure did. Did you look under? Yep, I sure did. And then you go in there and you look in the closet and it's all tore apart. You look under their bed and it's clean. I'm like, oh, okay. Then you pick up their sheets and it's all underneath their sheets. I'm like, if you work so hard to hide it, why can't you just work hard and put it where it belongs? And sometimes we come before God and God is saying, well, listen, this is what I want from you. And so, oh, God, I already do that. Listen, I pay my tithe. Listen, I'm just asking you for a little bit of cash. I'm just in a tight spot, Lord. If you would just spot me at 20, we'll be good. And we come before God like this sometimes. And when God doesn't respond, our immediate response to God is, see, God doesn't care. He ain't real. Listen, I've said it. I said, oh, God, I'm over here giving my life to preach the gospel. I'm leaving my wife and kids behind. And I need something from you. And while I'm gone preaching, my dad leaves me and walks out of my life. And that's what I get. Has anyone ever been to a place where you prayed before God and you say, God, is this what I get? I'm over here crying. Listen, I wonder how many people have left boogers and muckles all over their house crying, asking God for a miracle. Listen, we've all been there. We're like, God, whether it's a broken relationship, anyone ever been offended by someone you love? Oh, man, you got to change my wife. Oh, she's hard. Come on, guys. I know you cry in the bathroom looking at y'all, so. Ladies, you got that ugly cry, you hide. And you stare at yourself in the mirror. Listen, we all cried out of frustration. Can you say amen? We've all been in that place where we're so frustrated in life and we're asking God for miracles and the miracle doesn't happen. And immediately we break down, we start blaming God. Oh, God, this man, this woman, this job, this and that. And we begin to blame everything. And we come to our original question, God, what do I got to do to get what I need? And so we come to church and we ask counsel from a brother and a sister. from a pastor. And what does pastor and brother and sister say? Oh, you got to believe God. Man, how many know that'll fire you up? Your whole life is done. Hey, man, everything's falling apart. And believe God, really? You telling me to have faith? Listen, I'm living off faith because I ain't got jack right now. Somebody's got to help me. Listen, we've come to these places and we're saying, why am I going to go to church? Why am I going to come here? Every time I come in the presence of God, I leave the same way. I don't experience God. I don't feel God. Nothing ever changes. My life remains the same. Why am I here? God, what do I got to do to get eternal life? You know what's funny is we hate losing. And so why would we come to church if we're going to leave losers? You ever wonder that? Like if the Bible says that Jesus came, he died on the cross, and when he died on the cross, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And the Bible says all his victories belong to his people. That sounds like a victory, right? That sounds like we're winners. But then why do we leave church feeling like losers? Like, man, we came to church, and man, I just feel the same. Listen, I hate losing. One of the things that frustrates me is when I lose my keys. Anyone lost your keys? Ladies, this is part of your pet peeve. You just done cleaned the whole house all day long, and you lose your keys. And what happens? You tear your whole house apart trying to find your keys. Listen, you're frustrated because losing things ain't necessarily a good thing. So I did a little research on why we lose things. And so what it comes down to, it's a breakdown of attention and memory. The biology people, I don't know what they're called, the scientists, they say there's a part of the brain called the hippocampus part of the brain, and it's responsible for taking a snapshot of what we're doing. And then later on, when we go to look for that item, it like shocks these neurons, and it brings back to memory what we were doing. So if you lose your keys, like some of us, how many of you forgot your phone? You didn't forget it. Why? Because it means something to you. So that part of the brain took a screenshot, and now it's saved in your memory. Well, when something doesn't mean anything to you, you'll lose it. But when something means something to you, you won't lose it. That's why you got your phones with you. And so I was thinking about this, and here is this young man. He's standing before Jesus. He's literally standing before the God that created the heavens and the earth. And he's saying, Jesus, what do I got to do? And Jesus is saying, hey, obey the commandments. Has anyone murdered in here? If you did, I'll pray for you. Hey. No. Anyone lied? Of course we have, but we repented, right? So we could say if you're a Christian, we're like, hey, we're trying to keep the commandments the best we can. I'm trying my hardest here. This young man says, what do I got to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, listen, this is what. If you've kept all that, then this is what I'm going to tell you to do. I want you to sell all that you have and then come and follow me. What do you mean? Sell all that I have? What, isn't what I did good enough for you? I just kept the Ten Commandments from my youth, and now you're asking me to give up more? Haven't I given you enough? I want you to think of what's happening now. I'm going to take off my glasses. I feel like I'm in a fight right now. Listen, the rich young ruler is in the presence of Jesus. And the Bible says he left his presence sorrowfully. But did he have to lose sorrowfully? That is a negative. He didn't have to leave the presence of the Almighty God the same way he showed up. He had a choice to make. And that choice was to either listen to the words of Jesus, believe on him, and do what he commanded him to do, or leave sorrowfully. And his choice, the Bible says, led him away sorrowfully. Now, I want to bring it back to you. You're here tonight. How many have ever got an answer from God that you didn't like to hear? Someone told you, hey, bro, listen, you got to change your attitude, because if not, you're going to push away your wife, your kids, your family. Girl, if you don't change that neck-whipping attitude, boy, you're going to lose your husband. You want him to love you, you better cut it out. Right? Sometimes we don't like hard love. We don't like that hard love. But can I tell you what saved me was hard love? Someone who was real with me. And I'm about to be real with you. The Bible says that Jesus challenged this young man to lose something. But we don't like losing. Don't forget that. We don't like being losers. But tonight, I wonder, we're here, we're in the presence of God. You came in. I want you to really dig inside right now and think about your circumstances. Are you happy with where you are in life? If that answer is no, and you believe that God has more for you, if you have a vision that you want your finances to increase and be blessed, if you want your marriage and your relationships to be successful, there are goals that you have in life, then you want more and you want God's help. That is something that we could be honest with. I want more from God. Listen, if I'm a millionaire, I still want more from God. Why? Because it's a promise. If David could give $1.2 billion offering, the dude was loaded. But it came through God's blessing. It said he gave a 5-pound gold offering. It's a lot of money, y'all. But I want you to think of this for a moment. We don't like to lose things that mean a lot to us. I wonder how many ladies have lost their wedding ring. Heck no, because it means a lot. My first day of being married, I lost it in the ocean. My wife was mad. I was like, babe, it's not that it didn't mean a lot. I just lost it. But see, we don't like losing things. But I want to challenge you tonight. If you're not happy with where you are, then perhaps you're here tonight. You have a choice to make. Either leave the same way you came or leave having a supernatural experience with God. My father left 6 years ago, and I've shared this, and I forgave my dad. You see, when unforgiveness is attached to our life, it's an anchor, man. You carry around frustration and weight, and the Bible talks about carrying a weight. He says, listen, if you live in the world, you're going to carry a weight that you were never intended to carry. But if you come to me, my burden is light and my yoke is easy. Meaning, if you come to me and give me your problems, I will lighten the weight off you and I will help you with your problems. The rich young ruler didn't want to lose something before Jesus because it meant so much to him. I wonder tonight, are you willing to lose something before Jesus? Are you willing to be in the presence of God tonight? And are you willing to let go of your pride? Boy, that's a big one, especially for the men in here. I don't know, ladies are pretty prideful too. We all like our pride, right? We like being right. Oh, shoot, man, you ain't, no, I don't know what this white crazy pastor's talking about. I'm Chicano, ese. Viva la raza. Listen, I've been there. I used to think that I knew everything. But I wonder if simple humility tonight would change your circumstances. Are you willing to lose your pride? I wonder, are you willing to lose your security and your money? Pastor takes up tithe and offering. Shoot, I work too hard for my money. You won't give it to God, but you'll go give it to the bartender. You'll go give it to the drug addict, the drug pusher. You'll go give it to Amazon all day long. And you get this cheap little thing, and it breaks in 2 weeks. You're like, oh, man, got to buy another one. We give our money to all kinds of things. But when it comes to God, oh, shoot, you know, I can't sell all that. Hey, man, I feel like I'm losing out because I can't see what I'm getting in return. Oh, listen, you're getting a lot more in return. This young ruler was in the presence of Jesus, and he couldn't see what he was getting in return. But listen, it's easy for us to see it because we know who Jesus is. It's easy for us to say, oh, shoot, I wouldn't do that, man. I would have been right there. Sell it, I have. Shoot, I would have sold it all right there. I've been by Jesus, me and you, Lord. But we can't be like that. Listen, because the things that God is asking us to let go, they mean so much more to us. We don't like losing. Listen, I know that, oh, I forgive everybody, but you don't know what my dad did to me. Oh, I forgive everyone, but you don't know, hey, what they did to me. Do you know how I grew up? Do you know how hard I worked to get to where I am? And now you're asking me to lose everything? So what you're telling me is everything I've done this far isn't good enough for you, God. Is that what you're telling me? No, that's it. I'm leaving. and I'm never coming back to church. That's how some people leave the presence of God. They don't like hearing that. But listen, I want to share something with you. This isn't just a one-off scripture. Pastor said tonight in his offering that, amen, if something is repeated more than one time, we should probably pay attention. It says here that there was a man who had found a treasure and he buried it in a field. And the Bible says he sold all that he had. He lost everything. And when he sold and everything he had, he went back to the field and purchased it. Because he lost everything, now he could purchase something that was worth far more than what he had. And then the very next verse underneath that, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking to buy beautiful pearls. And he says, when he found one pearl of great value, he sold the pearls that he had, all of them, with no guarantees that someone else before him went and got it before him. It says he went and sold all he had, came back, and he purchased the pearl of a great value. You see, if you and I are ever going to experience greater blessing, then we got to learn how to lose something and trust God in the process. You know, there is a scripture that says, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and it dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. My daughters, I just bought a house in October, and we're now in the springtime, and so I'm doing a little experiment with my kids. They're my little lab rats. I got three daughters, and so what I did was I made three gardens, those little elevated gardens. This garden is my garden. I told them, don't touch my garden. Me and my wife are collabing on this. And so I planted some jalapenos, some ghost peppers, and then some flowers. And so, we did the same in my daughters. I said, Stella, this one's yours. AJ, this one's yours. And I said, it's up to you to take care of your garden. You're the one that has to pull the weeds. You're the one that has to water it. Mom and Dad will take care. I'm not going to remind you. And so in our text here, it says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground, it dies. It'll remain alone. So how many have ever held a seed in your hand? One little seed. Well, listen, that seed is ugly. It's nasty. There's no benefit in it. But that's what we look like before God when we don't want to lose things he's asking us for. We have our little seed. Oh, God, you don't want to help me. He said, just give me that seed, man. Like, oh, no, this is my seed. You know, we used to plant watermelon seeds in the ground. My grandma would get mad because they would overthrow everything. But listen, when you lose your seed, when you put it in the ground, and once you cover it up with dirt, you ain't finding it. You lost it. It's gone. But listen, by faith, you begin to water that area. And by faith, you begin to look. And every day, you're like, God, I need your help. And you cry out day in and day out. You've lost something that meant something to you. And what God begins to do is takes that thing that was ugly and he begins to cause it to grow and bring something out beautiful. You see, but we're afraid to lose things before God because we don't like being losers. You know, these athletes, whether you watch the NFL, UFC, these guys have lost their life to be great. They let go of family time. They let go of all these things, and they sacrifice themselves to be the very best at what they could be. But you see, God doesn't require that much of us. We think, I got to show up to church on a Sunday and Sunday night. God, my whole life's over. You know how many days I used to spend in a bar? 6 days a week. I was making a six-figure income, $162,000 a year. I couldn't make it every 2 weeks from paycheck to paycheck because of my party habits. Oh, I can't give to the church. I was peeing my money down the drain, man, throwing it up too. But see, we don't look at it like that because, I'm getting something, though. I'm getting drunk, man. Oh, yeah, that's awesome. See, but the enemy makes it look like you're losing everything. You see, here tonight, there is something very powerful when we are in the presence of God and he begins to deal with us. And he says, listen, I want to take your pain away. I want to take your fear of losing out. I want to take your frustration, your financial frustration. I want to take away your depression. He says, if you'll give it to me, you won't leave my presence the same way you came to me. You'll leave different. You don't have to walk out these doors sorrowfully, but instead, you could leave this place delivered and set free. But why don't people, listen, you want me to tell you something interesting about depression? Depression is contagious. I did this whole research. I'm not a very smart person, so I have to research stuff out. Just doesn't click for me. So I read it like 6 times. But depression is very, very contagious. And what happens is when you're around someone who is depressed, it causes their depression to grow. It's called cross-pollination. It's like when you have flowers planted, there's a little bee that comes and it comes over here and what happens, it cross-pollinates and it causes something that could only reach a certain potential. Now it causes it to grow beyond its potential because it has someone else feeding it. This is what happens when you're depressed. Is you begin to find people that struggle with the same thing you do. And, oh, how's your day? Oh, you know, I woke up and the Cheerios were gone. Oh, that's horrible. And there you are. And they agree with you. Oh, yeah, that is a bad day, bro. Shh, give me a hug, man. But you see, this is what happens. And so when we live life carrying these burdens, there are people that surround us with the same issues and you'll never know it. A girl was going to our church, and she was there on a Wednesday night. My wife reached out to her. She's grew up in the fellowship in church. She knows God. She has a beautiful family. My wife said, hey, where's your phone? I've been trying to get a hold of you. I want to invite you out to breakfast. She goes, oh, it got broken. I just haven't got a new one yet. And my wife says, hey, tomorrow, let's go get some breakfast. And she goes, well, you know, she goes, I'll go pick you up. I'm going to pay for you. Let's go. And so she agreed. But that night at midnight, we got a phone call that this young girl, she hung herself. She left a 1-year-old daughter. She left a 4-year-old daughter, a 9-year-old, and 2 teenagers. She's sitting in church under the same preaching as you and I tonight. But you know what the difference was? Some people are willing to lose anything to receive a gift from God. And others say, no, I'm going to hold on to it. Very sad story. But the reality is there are people who are here tonight that you're struggling with things. And right now, God wants to help you and he wants to bless you. And he wants you to leave changed and transformed. But we're so afraid to let go because it's become so normal. It's like starting a new job. How many enjoy that? You already know your job here. And for some, you found a job that pays more. You're like, hey, man, we'll just go over there. It gets more money. Then you got to learn everything. You got to learn people. We don't like that feeling. Like, I can't wait to get through the new stage. Well, listen, with God, you already know who he is. All it is simply letting go of what's comfortable and being willing to lose. The Bible talks of this. Some people come in the presence of God, but they never leave changed because they're unwilling to let go of things. But I want to challenge you tonight. This ain't a complicated sermon, y'all. I don't like complicated things. That's why I'm an evangelist. My wife is complicated. I love her to death. I got three little girls. They're complicated. But God helps me with that. And I say, God, I can't understand these little creatures. What do I do with them? But I begin to study God's word on what it is to be a father. I begin to let go of what I don't know. And I said, God, you got to teach me what I don't know. I grew up around men. We fought. We shot each other with BB guns, punched each other. My brother stabbed me in my leg with a knife just to see what it felt like to still stab somebody. Like, really? And now I have 3 little girls. They're like, Dad, can you braid our hair? What do I know about braiding? But I learned how to braid. What do I know about curling their hair? I learned how to curl their hair. I could paint their nails. How do I know how to change a baby's butt? Oh, I don't know, man. But listen, when I let go of my pride, oh, I'm a man. Listen, my household began to shift. Now my daughters understand what a real father is, because if they don't get a real father in the home, they're going to find real love somewhere else. They're going to go into a home where the husband beats the dog out of them, and that's normal to them because that's all they know. But if they see what a heavenly father looks like, you see, I had to let go of things because not only am I affected, my family's affected. Are you willing to lose something tonight? Are you willing to let go of your finances and say, God, I'm going to trust you with my tithe. It says to test you. God, I'm going to test you. I don't understand it. I don't want to. Listen, I'll tell you straight up. I didn't want to give my tithe. Like, that's my money. But I said, God, I'm going to trust you. And I began to, I'm like, ah, here's my tithe. I said, Lord, I'm testing you. He says, give her the cheerful heart. I'm not cheerful yet because I'm testing you. And I began to just give my tithe, and God began to open doors for me. I left a six-figure income to work for $8.12 an hour. 2 years later, I got another six-figure income. I'm like, yes, thank you, Jesus. Then I got sent out. Went back to pastoring, making $11 an hour with two kids. Then I got a six-figure income job. Yes! I'd even start it because I became an evangelist. And I said, God, why is all this happening? But let me tell you what I learned. Losing things before God is one of the greatest blessings that I've experienced. I've never left the presence of God after losing something, feeling like, oh, this was a stupid decision. Every time I lost something before God, I've left refreshed, full of joy and peace. And listen, you could leave the same way too. Forgiveness, oh man, there's nothing better than knowing that you ain't lugging around someone's pain. Financial stress, there ain't nothing better knowing that God's going to take care of you. You want to talk about depression? You could wake up full of joy before you drink your coffee. Listen, you want to experience God on a whole nother level, then right now, tonight, in the presence of God, lose something, and you won't leave sorrowfully. I want to challenge you tonight. The Bible says those who lose their life for my name's sake will find it. Man, this is a very powerful scripture. I began to think of this. How could I lose my life, but I'll find it? Doesn't make sense. Well, listen, the life we're living right now is temporary. Eternity is a lot longer. And I began to understand that, man, when I lose things before God, I'm starting to find my life. I'm a husband. This year is 10 years that I've been married. I'm a father. I'm a dad to a dog. I enjoy cutting my grass at my new house. Listen, I don't got the nicest things, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Because I lost my life before Jesus, he's beginning to add things that I've always wanted. He's beginning to add and add. My dad that left, he called me last Thanksgiving, says, son, forgive me. I got my dad back. My grandfather that said he was ashamed to call us his grandkids, he said, will you forgive me? I got my grandfather back. Listen, it's because of God. And I said, God, I'm willing to lose anything, God, if you would just meet me. And when you lose something tonight at this altar, listen, you'll experience God like you never have. But it's going to take honesty on your side. It's going to have to take you being real. You can lie to me. You can lie to your pastor. You can lie to your neighbor next to you. But you can't lie to yourself. You know what's going on. And eventually you might fall into your lie. I want you to bow your heads real quickly. One of the worst things in life is sin. And we carry around.